Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on the Trocare College live line this morning is Michael Cornell. He's the executive director of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association, also educational and leadership consultant, talking about school start times, which we were talking a lot about in the city of Buffalo last year. And now it seems like more and more suburban school districts are examining what time school starts for what students. Hey, Michael, thanks for joining us this morning. You know, the thing that really, you know, catches my eye about this conversation is you look all over in Buffalo last year, talking about school start times because of transportation and making sure that, you know, kids had the buses ready to take them to school. In Williamsville, they're talking about school start times because of how much sleep high schoolers get. In Sweet Home, they're talking about school start times because of wanting to add a little bit of time to instruction throughout the day. I mean, there's a million different reasons behind having this conversation.
Good morning to you both. You know, when I widen the lens a little bit, and you posed a really great question, and it raises a really important issue, Brian, is the issue of local control. You know, you've heard me on your air many times be unhappy when the state tries to impose a one-size-fits-all solution for 743 districts, and there's a lot of reasons why that's bad policy. What you just highlighted is the reason for local control, right? It's local control done right. Here you have a school district in Williamsville with a great superintendent, Dr. Brown Hall, and a thoughtful board doing their due diligence, getting input from the community, looking at the data that they think matters, getting input from the public. And they're going to do what they think is in the best interest of their community based on their unique needs, based on their unique characteristics in Sweet Home, you know, for their own reasons. You know, Sweet Home is looking to extend their school day. We did the same thing in Hamburg in 2014-15 when I first started there. We extended the elementary school day and adjusted our start times. Took a lot of public input and made the decision that was most fitting for Hamburg at that time. So this is a great example of why local control is so important. And, you know, it should be noted that California and a couple of other states have imposed the statewide requirement for when middle school and high school can start. And in my view, that completely ignores the fact that local control is important. And school districts, you know, school superintendents and school boards have the best view of what's good for their school district, not people in Albany.
You know, Michael, in many cases, these are long-established routines. They've been in place for years, if not decades. How hard is it to break this?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly comes with challenges. You know, how you structure your after-school activities becomes a little bit more challenging, you know, depending on how late you go. There are collective bargaining agreements. I think you saw that in the city of Buffalo, that impact when schools can start. Not all school districts have their own transportation departments. Sweet Home and Williamsville do, so they have a lot more control over what that contract looks like and how they move buses and how they move kids, particularly as it relates to out-of-district kids who are required to bus. You know, so I think there certainly is not without challenges. And I mean, another thing that I think is important, I don't think this is a challenge in Williamsville, but it's a thing in a lot of other districts. A lot of parents like to have their older kids home first so that they can be there to take care of the younger kids. That was something that we heard loud and clear in Hamburg. And the other thing is, this isn't going to solve, it depends on what you're trying to solve for. And all three of these districts you mentioned are trying to solve for something different. So as long as the district is clear about what they're trying to solve for, and you know what they're using school start times as a forcing function for them, you know, for them and their needs.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Some people want the older kids home first to watch over some of the younger kids. And here I am thinking of the exact opposite, where you might want the older kids in school or going to school a little bit later, because when they are older, they're able to handle that a little bit more, get themselves on the bus or in high school, maybe even drive themselves to school instead of having to wait with a younger kid later at home. I mean, that's got to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that's where you have to be clear about what exactly you're trying to solve for. You know, if you try to solve for more sleep, you know, that's one thing. You force your way through the other challenges that are there, because no change like this is without its challenges. And a superintendent and board of education have to be, you know, clear-eyed about what the challenges are and then honest with people in terms of the difficulty of moving through them. Which I think Williamsville has done in this case, having talked to Dr. Brown Hall, and he's a gold standard superintendent. I know he's communicated well with his community, and I think their board is going into this clear-eyed in terms of the challenges they'll face in terms of making an adjustment like this.
All right, we've been mentioning three of these districts: Buffalo, Williamsville, Sweet Home. But is this something, as in your role as head of the Erie Niagara Superintendent Association, is this something that's really been bubbling under the surface for a lot more districts?
I don't hear a ton of conversation about it. And when I do hear it, I think sometimes people are, they're a little bit curious about certain things. For example, that there's not a ton of data that tells us that if you push school start times back, they're going to get more sleep. There's a couple of studies, you know, they're published in 2021. I was looking at them. And for example, the study period, you're talking about a study period of 2015, 16, 17, 18. Right. And, you know, after it gets peer reviewed and published in 2021, one study I was looking at was 2017 to 2019 was the study period. Social media and cell phones are a huge confounding factor in all of this. And during the study period, YouTube was just getting started. You know, TikTok was just getting started in 2018. So, you know, I'm curious to know if we'll experience the same effects in terms of more sleep, given the fact that these study periods happened pre-COVID and before social media really had a chance to sink the hooks of addiction into our kids when they were confined to their homes for 6 months or a year during COVID. So I think the circumstances in terms of the amount of additional sleep kids are going to get given the cell phone and social media situation in 25, 26, and 27 is a very different social media environment and amount of use than it was in 2016, 17, and 18. I think a lot of people look at that and wonder a bit.
And it's much different. I mean, because of things that you're mentioning, new technology, new, you know, everything comes around all the time. Is this going to be kind of an evolving conversation? Like, do you see this constantly changing over the years instead of us, you know, settling on, well, this is the start time?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are happening in a macro sense with respect to education. The New York State Education Department has put out its portrait of a graduate, changes in, you know, how we're going to assess kids at the state level, perhaps changes in terms of how we assign credit to kids. for graduation. I think there's just a lot of moving parts in terms of the macro perspective with respect to education and in terms of how we deal with the mental and social wellness of our kids in school and take stock of what we can control and what we can't control. And how do we support parents in terms of how they help their kids understand the role of cell phones and social media? And how do we educate our kids with respect to cell phones and social media? You know, all this talk about banning cell phones in school, you can't avoid the conversation about social media and helping teach our kids from a very early age the proper place for cell phones and social media so that they can start to regulate themselves when their parents aren't standing over there and watching them. So there's just a lot. So, yeah, it's going to be an evolving conversation because the variables continue to change.
Michael, thanks so much. Appreciate all the insight. Michael Cornell, Executive Director of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association.